Welcome on into the 8 p.m. hour, halfway home with you on a hump day. Chris Thomas Turtle with you till 10 o'clock each and every weeknight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Got a busy 8 o'clock hour coming up. Don't want to miss either Brent Key or Haynes King, who both stopped by with Dukes and Bell today. Going to let you hear from both of those gentlemen. But right now, we got to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in one of the best in the biz covering the NBA, Matt Moore for the Action Network. Matt, appreciate you hopping back on the show. Want to start out west with both the teams making some headlines. Do you believe that Marcus Smart and DeAndre Ayton are significant additions to the Lakers to help them get back in a true playoff chase?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are significant additions. You know, this was the third seed last season, so I think that they're already far enough along to give them a good opportunity to be able to make the postseason again. I think the question is just going to be, you know, with Ayton, his focus, work ethic, those type of things have been an issue before. Can he move past all that? Can he be the type of focused force that they need him to be? Will he and Luka Doncic have chemistry? Because that's been a kind of a challenge point with Luka from time to time, is he has to have the right guys around him. Sometimes he gets a little particular about the guys that he wants around him. With Smart, you know, I do have some concerns about he looked like he was approaching the end of his career. And usually when Boston lets go of a guy, it doesn't wind up working well for whoever gets that guy next. So have some concerns, I think, about Smart. But if he's able to be anything close to the player that he was when he was on the court, those are serious additions. They need a defense, and they need a big man to pair with Doncic. They got both of those. Maybe not the type of profile or good enough players in their primes as you would hope for, but probably good enough to get the Lakers within range of title contention this season.
When it comes to Luka, you're already hearing the reports, Matt. The proverbial best shape of his life. Look at these pictures. He's so thin. Are you buying that the move to L.A. and the emotion of everything that happened within the last calendar year is enough for the light bulb to turn on for him?
You know, I wonder from his motivational standpoint, because he really was embarrassed by this. Like, that to me does seem like it's a meaningful kind of change. On the other end of it, though, look, he was in great shape coming out of the Olympics. He was in great shape coming out of FIBA World Cup the last two seasons. And when that's happened, he has still kind of been left at the start of the season a little bit out of shape and then got worse. He's one of the few players that, and a lot of people, scouts have questioned this, how is it a guy plays himself out of shape? But it's been a problem for him consistently. So I think we got to get through a full season before we can really say that Luka is past that point in his career.
When it comes to the other team out west in L.A., the Clippers, it seems like, I was joking around with somebody else yesterday that, you know, if you told me this was their roster 10 years ago, I would have said that's a conference finals team. But there's a lot of veterans on that team, Matt, but I don't know if they're all playing together at a point in which their career that it'll make, you know, for a deep playoff run.
Yeah, that's kind of the question here, right? Is, hey, this is a really talented team in 2017, but it's not 2017. I think those questions are right to ask. You know, Bradley Beal, probably a little scapegoated in Phoenix. I just think it's unlikely that he was the sole problem there, like he was kind of made out to be. And meanwhile, I think when you look at Chris Paul, he's still so effective and was really good for San Antonio last season. I think you have to be optimistic about what they're able to add. Maybe the way to look at it is it provides redundancy, right? Where even if these guys need to miss games, even if these guys miss days, have to be out with injury, they've got enough of them to be able to cover up. But ultimately, this Clippers team, as good as the roster is, it's going to come down to Kawhi Leonard. You know, is he going to be there the whole season? Is he going to be the leader that they need? James Harden winds up taking a lot of focus, stress, grief for their performances in the playoffs. But it's going to have to be Kawhi Leonard. He's going to have to be the guy for them. Otherwise, these other additions, no matter how old they are, aren't going to make a difference.
What do you think the vision is being sold to Bradley Beal, or excuse me, not Bradley Beal, Devin Booker being the lone wolf left in Phoenix?
You know, I think it's kind of a transition of, hey, you know, we had this period of contention, and now we're going to build around you, and we want to find young talent to grow with you as the leader, versus trying to find guys to help lead him, like, you know, Chris Paul and Kevin Durant. Now they can kind of look at this and say, hey, we're going to find an opportunity for you to be the one that's in charge, for you to be the leader here. And that should be promising. They've got guys, you know, like Kamen Malawash, they drafted. They've added some depth pieces. They do have some components around there. I actually think there's probably some upside. I think they're probably a little underrated in the Western Conference. Booker's got a chance for a bounce back season, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of a surprise team out West this year.
What did you make of Damian Lillard's decision to go back to Portland? Do you think it was just purely emotional and sentimental? It doesn't seem like they're going to be, I mean, who knows, but it just seems like they're a ways away from contending.
I think they're probably closer. I think what'll be interesting is this is going to be a year, I think, where they probably make a big step forward without him. And then that's going to lead into having Dame, and whatever he can give them is going to be the question coming off that Achilles. I think for him, like, look, I think, yes, it was a franchise that he's been with for a long time, was most comfortable there. It was a franchise that was willing to give him the money because of that connection, in part, having him around to be that kind of leader for this group. But also, you know, there's real family stuff there where it was really hard on him being away from his kids, and his kids are still in Portland, and he's going to have an opportunity to be closer to them and to manage those kind of situations, which are a big distraction for him. So I think this is going to be kind of a healing year, both physically, mentally, emotionally for Dame. I don't know what he's going to look like on the other side of this. I really don't. And the question will be, can the Blazers make a big enough step forward? They were tough last year in the second half of the season, especially defensively. If they could just find a way to get some offensive production, especially as Scoot Henderson, this team actually, I think, is in a position to be one of the teams that's rising up when they get Dame back next season.
The team he left, the Milwaukee Bucks, I'm going to ask it pretty straightforward. What are they?
Giannis and friends. I think that's the way to put it forward, where, you know, the other old team might have been like, oh, it's Giannis and friends. No, like Chris Middleton, very good, all-star level NBA player. Brooke Lopez, defensive player of the year caliber player. They had those kind of guys around them. And now, you know, it's guys like Kevin Porter. It's guys, Miles Turner, I think, is a good addition to pair with him in terms of athleticism and skill set. Spacing should be good. One of the things, though, I will say, Giannis, when you surround him with shooters, that formula still works. And he was never really comfortable playing with lead ball handler Damian Lillard, and Lillard was never really comfortable playing with Giannis. So I think getting back to it might be it might be predictable. It might have a more of a cap ceiling, but getting back to Giannis and his skill level and how good he still is, especially with his jumper having made big strides last season, surrounding that with shooting, that's always going to be a formula, I think, for success. The Bucks, because of how weak the Eastern Conference is, they're going to be in the mix, and they just need a few things to go their way, and they can be right back in there as a contender for the Eastern Conference title crown.
Here in Atlanta, it looks like Kobe Bufkin played his way to being the backup point guard. He had a couple of really big performances in Summer League. Do you think that's something the Hawks should be comfortable with, or should they look to upgrade?
I think it's going to give him a kind of opportunity. They've got so much versatility, I think, with their guards now, with what they're able to kind of put out there. They can put out so many different types of lineups. I think it's okay to go in with Bufkin and then address that situation as it kind of goes along. You want to give these guys an opportunity to develop, because otherwise they just wind up stagnating, and then the value that you had in having them as an asset kind of is mitigated, so you can't even really trade them. You need to find out how good he is in order to be able to figure out where he fits in. But I think they've got so many guys on this team that can play and provide good minutes and good lineup rotations. They should be okay with Bufkin playing backup point guard.
Speaking of rotations, how do you think the team should handle Porzingis?
Yeah, this is a tough one. Again, we kind of go back to that thing I said about Boston. When Boston gives up on a guy, I get real nervous. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Celtics traded Jrue Holiday, and all of a sudden his physical comes back differently, and they have to change the parameters of that trade to Portland. I thought that was very interesting. Isaiah Thomas, like, there's a history of this. So I'm nervous about Porzingis for the Hawks. That said, look, I think Onyeka Okongwu is playing great basketball at the end of last season. I think Jalen Johnson is going to be an absolute star. So I think it's actually okay if they're very careful with Porzingis, if he doesn't play, you know, 50 plus games, because they can get by, I think, with the talent that they have and who they're developing. I think there's an opportunity there for them to be able to work on those guys and then to have Porzingis be an additive once they get to the postseason. But I think being as cautious as possible is probably going to have to be the only way to play this, given his history.
Speaking of growth and development, what do you expect from Reese Hoshea in year two?
Yeah, you know, I thought he had a solid rookie campaign. I think the big thing for him is probably going to be working to, this is something I think I see a lot of players enter the league now not having, and that's a go-to move. Like you look at a lot of these guys and they've got so many skills, so much skill set, and they can shoot and they can dribble and they can drive. You want to see him develop a move that they can go to create offense when they're guarded one-on-one. And I think for him, that's kind of missing. They need to be able to figure out what's his comfort zone level. What's the spot on the floor? What are his spots for him to get to? Because I think that they were still kind of having him fill in the pieces. And for a guy with as much talent and skill as he's got, I think working on that in year two should be part of the development alongside, I think, focusing on Jalen Johnson and how good he can be, because I think he's going to be absolutely amazing.
Talking all things NBA offseason with our buddy Matt Moore. Make sure you follow him at the Action Network for all of his great NBA insight. All right, you mentioned the weakened Eastern Conference. A team that's given the Hawks fits for a couple of years now is Paolo Banchero and company, and the Magic have continued to grow. Where do you slot them in after the addition of Bane?
It's an upgrade for sure. I have them as a team that's improved the most, but they were also starting at a lower point really than their record showed last season. So I have them about 50 wins. I think they're going to be on track to be in that conversation. I think in the East, you've got Cleveland, you've got New York. And then after that, I actually have Detroit and Orlando kind of on the same tier there as being within range of being able to compete for that. Bucks might get there. Hawks might get there. Orlando, I think, has to be slotted in at third in the Eastern Conference with the capacity to do better. But look, we have to see that offense actually execute. You can have the talent, but there are things that go into an offense that aren't just about the X's and O's. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was a great shooter until he showed up in Orlando. There's a lot of guys that have been good shooters that have not been good shooters in Orlando. They have to fix the health of the offense, not just from a talent perspective, but from a scheme and execution standpoint. That's going to be the challenge. I think the pressure this season, as Paolo Banchero is ready to go ahead and get his playoff career really started and start making runs.
What about Detroit? Sort of the same deal?
I'm much higher on Detroit than most people are. They kind of look at it and go, oh, what a disappointing offseason. You know, they lose Malik Beasley to gambling investigation. They miss on Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Dennis Schroeder departs. I love what they did. Their problem in the playoffs versus the Knicks was that they had nobody else to really create outside of Cade Cunningham, which is why Dennis Schroeder had to play such a big role. They didn't have Jaden Ivey. He's back. They add Caris LeVert, who, yes, he's a scorer. Yes, he's got good athleticism. Caris was one of the best assist players off the bench in the league the last two seasons. He's a really good playmaker. Duncan Robinson, much more of a complete player than he was in his early career in Miami. He's actually able to give them contributions in multiple facets of the game. So I think Detroit is going to be, with their internal development and how good they already are, I really do think that Detroit's a serious contender for the East title.
A couple of off-the-court questions for you before we wrap up with Matt Moore of the Action Network. Are you excited for the return of Ball on NBC?
Loving it. Love it. And a lot of this is I'm just ready for kind of new tones, a new voice in the field, in the sport, for there to be kind of NBC's, the way that they approach covering games, I think is really good. They take the sports very seriously, which I think the league could really use as taking it with very like a modicum of seriousness about covering the league. You can still have fun, but I'm hopeful that their presentation is going to be very focused on the game itself and celebrating the game. And I'm really excited to see what both they and Amazon bring to the table this fall.
And before I let you go, the ESPN finals booth continues to be shuffled around. Do you think that, honestly, I guess the blunt question of it is, aside from Mike Breen being the voice there, do you think the analyst role matters in 2025 for the finals?
I do. I think because that's what you remember when you look back, is you remember the voice of the people that were on those broadcast calls. And I think, you know, Steve Jones with NBC, I think the right combination is really important. And I think they've had really good people on these broadcast booths. I like Doris Burke. I like Richard Jefferson a lot with their coverage. They just haven't found the right combo. And sometimes it takes a little while for you to find the right set for what you're trying to accomplish. I think ESPN will probably get there, but I do think it still matters for we remember those broadcasts very clearly when we look back at the great finals, especially for young people coming up.
All right, Matt, appreciate the time as always. We'll check back in soon.
Thanks, man. Take care.
All right. That is Matt Moore of the Action Network there. Yeah, I'm excited for a little round ball rock coming back to NBC this, what is it? I guess fall, right? I guess technically considered when B-ball starts up again. All right. 404-726-0929. Coming up next, how good is Georgia Tech going to be next year on offense? Haynes King, the Georgia Tech quarterback, stopped by Dukes and Bell. I'll let you hear that, as well as we'll slip in a little producer six-pack with Big O, a jam-packed 8 o'clock hour to come your way next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10 o'clock.